How are we going? Hope you're well. Thanks for coming out tonight. It's pretty chilly, but it's a good night to be in church, and it's good to see you guys. Just give us a second. Awesome. Well, if you've got your Bibles with you or your phone, or whatever you like to read on, would you flick with me to Isaiah 43? We'll start from verse 18. It says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide the water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people, to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise. Yet you have not called on me, Jacob. You have not wearied yourself for me, Israel." And 25 says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more." I just want to give a really quick little bit of context for this passage that we're reading. And Steve mentioned that we're about to, as a church, start on a new reading plan in Isaiah, which is really exciting. Sorry, I'm just going to check my time. Awesome. Yeah, it's really, really exciting to be reading in Isaiah. And I just wanted to give a little bit of context into that passage that we just read, because quite a lot happens in 40 chapters. We get about 70 years or so of things that are happening in 40 chapters. So if you don't know who Isaiah was, he was a prophet that got given a task by God to declare to Israel a message of both hope and judgment. He had to warn Israel's leaders that their rebellion was going to come at a cost. So they'd gone and they'd done sort of their own thing. They'd walked with God for a time and they'd now walked away from him and wanted to do their own thing. And, you know, that's a pretty uncommon theme in the Bible. We never see that happen. But then he warns of Assyria attacking Israel and then Babylon's conquest of Jerusalem. And it's described as a purifying fire. And the imagery used is that Israel would be chopped down like a tree and the stump burnt. But from that stump would come a new king. And that's the hope, the promise of a messianic king or of Jesus. We know him as Jesus. They had no idea really what Isaiah would be talking about. But it's really exciting. New Jerusalem was to come, a nation that would declare the goodness of God to other nations. And so where we come into the story, chapters 41 to 47, they're actually back from exile. They've come back from Babylon and they're back in Jerusalem. And they're processing now what's just gone on. There's a faction of people going, "Look, we don't think God's that powerful. Like we might just have a look at other gods. We might just go our own way." And there's a faction that is sticking with God. And so we enter in chapter 43 where God's sort of talking into these problems. It's like a courtroom almost. They're accusing him of things and he's giving his defense and trying to explain things. Have you ever messed up at work? Have you ever had a moment where you've gone to yourself like, "You've messed up, like that was a mistake"? And you've had to tell your boss? I have. I'm an apprentice carpenter, and 3 weeks in, I was working. I hadn't really made a mistake, you know, I was feeling pretty good. I've heard a lot of horror stories of apprentices, and I'd like to think of myself as an all right apprentice. But 3 weeks in working on this job, we'd come to the end of it. We were getting pretty close. We built patios mostly, and one step in the process is screwing down the roof onto the beams that hold everything up. And we put quite large screws in, and it's pretty basic. The only real rule is don't miss a beam. Like, it's not that hard, you'd think. There's a 50 mil beam to hit. Anyway, I get up there. My qualified tradesperson had to go home because he injured his back. So it's my first chance of working by myself. I'm pretty excited because it's like a chance to prove myself, get things really smashed out, get it done well, and make a bit of a name for myself. It's only early days, so that was important to me. And I'm working along, just hammering through. And I go down off the roof just to check on things, and there's a screw poking out of a beam. Like, that's bad. That's like, I haven't missed the beam. I've hit the beam, but drilled on an angle, and it's come through the side of the beam. So I had to call my boss. Was like, I've mucked this up. Like, this is bad. And he's like, oh, I'll come have a look. And he gets there, and his words to me are, you're killing me, Ez. And I'm like, I'm just gonna go look for another job. Like, this is a bad start to an apprenticeship. I don't know what to do here. Anyway, we fixed the problem. It's a couple of $100 later and more hours, but we got it done. And they taught me, and I haven't punched another screw through a beam since. I've done heaps now, and I'm confident in that. And I've been thinking about discipline recently, reading through Isaiah and the story of judgment, but really we could call it discipline. And thinking of God's discipline, and something occurred to me about it. And it's on discipline itself. And discipline without training, so if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write this down. Discipline without training is just punishment. So I'll say it again, discipline without training is punishment. But God's discipline always is redemptive. God's discipline always is redemptive. And that's the story of Isaiah, isn't it? He's come in and he said, look, you've made a mistake, and I need to discipline this so that we can create something new, something better, and we can actually further on this city of Jerusalem, we can further on the kingdom of the Israelites. But it's hard, man. I went through years of wars and exile to be disciplined so that something new could be created. There was a bit of a fork in the road for them. They had to go through something really, really hard in order to have something new created. And what we see, as I sort of said before, is there was two factions. So people who were with God and people who decided to go their own way. And every person in Israel had to choose for themselves. And Israel had to choose as a nation whether they could stick with God through this to become something better, or whether they'd go their own way and find out what happens. And it's really similar in our own walk with Christ, isn't it? We go through, and often our journey is described as a race. And I get just this image of a road. We just run along this road with Christ, and we're getting through life, and he's guiding us. But there's times where there's hard seasons. Just really hard seasons come along, and there's almost like this fork where we have to choose, do we go with God, do we follow him down this road, or do I just go back to where I was? What do I want to do? And so that's on us to choose. We have to actually be really deliberate in choosing our way. We can't sort of just sit around at the fork and think that God's going to decide for us. We need to choose. So I don't know if you remember 2015 very well. I remember it pretty well. I graduated school 2014, and it was good. I was glad to be out of school. I'd just been accepted into uni and started studying engineering. So I had, you know, a good career lined up, followed Josh's footsteps, and you know, things sort of fell into place. I was in a relationship. Had like a lot of friends, did a lot of hanging around, and lived at home, which was awesome. Like, man, I miss home cooked meals and stuff. Like, that was the peak. It was good, and so, you know, I was working through. Life was great. It was flipping awesome, and wouldn't have changed it for anything. Like, things were just cruising really nicely, and it came to about June 2015, and things sort of changed. Relationship broke down, and I had a friend die in a car crash, and then was first on the scene to another crash not long after that, where I basically watched a guy die and I couldn't do anything about it. And just sort of lost my care for uni, and when you lose your care for uni and you don't work on anything, you start failing subjects. So failed stuff, and I just saw failure after failure in my life after that, and went through a really difficult season of life. And it came to a point where I had to choose God or not God, whether I had to work out, work life out for myself, or whether I'd follow God and trust that He had something for me on this journey. And honestly, yeah, it was just such a hard season, and so grateful to the people around me, my family, and this community for encouraging me to go back to God. But I guess what I wanted to share with that story is there's seasons in life that are just hard, and the Bible says it rains on the good and the bad. And there's things that we just can't decide what happens. But we can decide how we react to what happens. There's seasons that come, just like winter comes, it's cold. What do? You put on jumpers. Like you can choose to react to it, or you could just sit there and be cold. Wouldn't recommend. But yeah, we really need to decide on how we react, and processing all this and what's the mark of a Christian is what I was asking myself, and what does that look like? And I think the mark of a Christian is how we respond in the times that are really hard, in the times that are out of control, and how quickly we can go back to God to trust, and trust in His plan, and trust that He has something for us. And so, yeah, that's something that we really need to learn to do, is to respond quickly. And I think as we continue to walk with Him, we learn more how to respond quickly. I love God because He sneaks just little things into the Word. And verse 20 says, "I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people." It occurred to me that, like, what do you need most in the desert? You need water. And I love He just says, like, I give what my people need. And so often my mind goes to, like, oh, like love and really nice things. Like, I need a ute. That'd be cool to, like, just give me a ute. But there's times in life when we need discipline. And that's a hard word. It's hard to rock up to something going, I need discipline. And it's really hard to embrace. But I love this verse. And if you turn with me to Hebrews 12, I think it is. There. I'll just read from there. "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says," and this is from Proverbs, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone who accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live?" Could we go next, Zach, please? Thanks, man. "They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed." I love verse 11. "Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace." Like, what is that? How do you look into discipline and be like, this is going to actually produce righteousness and peace in my life? I certainly didn't see that at the time. And now I look back, and one of the hardest seasons of my life was one of the best seasons for my soul. I was so filled with pride in walking in things in my own, sort of gave myself credit for things, and God had gone down the list of priorities in my life. But he came through, and it was just such a refresher for my soul to be kicked back into knowing that he's in control. and I got that peace. When you agree with discipline and you follow that road, you get the peace. It's hard at the time, but you get that peace. I love this quote, and it's from Walking with God. It says, whatever our situation in life, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, our deepest and most pressing need is to learn to walk with God, to hear His voice, to follow Him intimately. It is the most essential turn of events that could ever take place in the life of any human being, for it brings us back to the source of life. Everything we long for can flow from this union. I think it's important to remember that. Remember that God's goal is to bring us back into relationship with Him, to bring us back to the garden where it was perfect. Adam and Eve, the only thing they had that we don't really have in our society is that close, intimate walking with God. And that's what was broken. And I wonder if the Israelites had kept that in perspective and had of had the Hebrews verse to dwell on and to think about, how they would have responded to that trial, how they would have responded to His discipline. So I guess my question to you is how do you respond? How will you respond when there's seasons that aren't great, when there's seasons that are really hard and that are out of your control, that they might go on for a while? Because there's no guarantee that a season ends quickly, but there is guarantee that it ends. And God will always bring us through. He'll always bring us past the point of pain and onto something greater. That's what I love. So just to cap it off, I'll land this plane pretty soon, but just remember that discipline without training is punishment, but God, His discipline is always redemptive. It always comes back to that. It always comes back to redeeming our relationship with Him, and that was perfected on the cross. That was perfected by Jesus when He died, and more importantly, when He rose again. So when we're going through those seasons, would you remember that Jesus is the author and perfecter of your faith? That He's paid the price already so that we can be born again and brand new from that. So that's my encouragement. Would you pray with me? Yeah, Father, I just thank You tonight. Thank You for who You are. Thank You that... Yeah, you love us enough to not leave us where we are, Lord, that You love us too much to not discipline us, but You want to take us further. Lord, You want to take us further than what we've been and what we can even think about going, Lord, that You have amazing plans for each and every one of us. And I just pray as everyone leaves here tonight and heads on into their week that they'd know that You have those amazing plans, Lord, with whatever's going on in their lives right now, Lord, that they'd reap the harvest of peace and righteousness from what You're doing. And I thank You that You're working. So I pray over this community, Lord, that when seasons come, Lord, that you'd be just so present on our minds and in our community, that we'd be a really encouraging community, one that's on fire for You and for Your purpose. And we just lift all this up in Your name.